Jim, are turnovers something that are contagious? I don't know if that's the right word, but something that is sustainable as they, you know, start, it rains, it pours, I guess?
I wouldn't say it's contagious. I don't know if that I mean, that tends to suggest that, you know, there are ebb and flow to it, and there, you know, and really it's just kind of how the game goes. It's we believe that a lot of it's law of averages. If you guys have guys that are hustling, you know, usually the more people that you have around the ball when the ball is loose, the better off your chances are of getting it. If you got guys hustling, you know, tip balls don't typically hit the ground. You know, in this league, if people are moving in the right direction at the right speed, then we should be able to get our fair share of them, things of that nature, you know. But contagious? No, I've never, certainly never been able to see that kind of virus going around the locker room.
Jim, you mentioned a law of averages. You're on pace for about 44 turnovers. Do you think that can continue, or do you think that might come back down to earth as the season goes?
In regard to law of averages, what I mean by that is if there's a ball loose, if we have more guys hustling, we had a chance to get that ball, and not necessarily every loose ball that there is in America, you know, or during game day. So, but nevertheless, I do think if we're hustling and moving in the right direction, that good things tend to happen. You know what I mean? That's really what I was referring to.
Talk about practicing turnovers. Glover was talking about technique yesterday. And he said, like, in anything you do, if an athlete finds out that a technique works, he'll continue to do it in confidence in doing it. That includes punching balls, or whatever. Do you agree with that? Is that
It is. Yeah, I do. I do think that there's, you know, and certain guys have, you know, pretty unique sort of way of going about things, that how they can create issues. And not only that, but in almost everything that they do, from pass protection to pass rush to coverage techniques. And I think that's indeed true.
Injuries and other things going out linebacker this year. Ty Year has seemed to play very well and very consistent through the first month of the season. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I think that you mentioned a little bit about him yesterday. You know, I think that his ability to play so many different spots and play them well, he's lined up at every position for us through the years, and he's certainly been very, very productive in those years. Yeah, I think it goes along with a willingness to do it. There's no inhibitions there. He's a great team guy. He wants to do what's best for us. But every year he's, you know, around the ball. Actually, when I first, just kind of give you an example, when I first came here, one of the first things I do, I know I probably mentioned this story a long time ago, but it's worth repeating. I usually just turn on like the special teams film and kind of watch and just kind of see who shows up. And Tahir was one of those guys on that special teams film that showed up time after time after time. So you usually tell there's an eagerness to get involved, to mix it up, hustle and desire to get to the football. He's been certainly exemplary of that before I came here, and certainly after as well.
Riddick, too, correct?
Exactly. Well, since we were talking about, you got a good memory. Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Is there something about the way he plays that lends him to playing weak side, maybe at a higher level than in the middle, like he did last year, or do you think that's not true?
You know, through the years, he's been productive at all three. I mean, he really has. He's so I wouldn't place any limitations upon him, you know, because I don't think he places any upon himself. So wherever you put him, he'll be able to play and play well.
Then what do you attribute his improvement this year to? I mean, he's playing, it seems like, at a really high level right now. Why do you think maybe he's at that level right now?
I think that part of that is experience, education, meaning knowing what to do, when to do. He's seen a lot at this point. They get a bit more comfortable in terms of the position in which they play. They don't see a whole lot of things that are considered new to them. They can anticipate a lot better. I think that's probably as much as anything.
And what if anything, did you change about
him? And he's been in the same system for a few years. Yes, sir.
What, if anything, did you change about your practice approach when it comes to turnovers this year? I think we've heard multiple times that there was a greater emphasis placed on it. I just wondered what have you incorporated that maybe has helped spark and lead to some of these
Yeah, we've always, you know, worked at it. You know, I think that, You know, it's one of the things that you always do. We have a period of time during the spring where receivers or any ball carrier that's going back to the huddle or running with the ball is free game to try to strip the ball out of their arms all the way up to them handing it to the manager. Number one, it gets us in the mindset that we're trying to get it out. Number two, it makes certain that the guys that have the ball in their hand are concentrating. So, I mean, they could be crossing the line of scrimmage with that ball, and there's a defensive guy that's trying to knock it out of their arms. Now, we had to put certain restraints on certain guys because there are certain guys a little bit too strong for their own good. And the quarterbacks are off limits, obviously, at this, which I think you would quite understand. But nevertheless, I think that part of it. But then also we had defensively in particular had set up circuit training just to work on a little bit more of what we've been talking about and preaching. And I think the emphasis in itself, there's an old Bo Schembechler term. I think he used to always say you achieve what you emphasize. And I think in this particular case, we gave it a little bit more emphasis. And, you know, hopefully it'll pay off for us for the entire year.
Anything else? Just kind of following that, just part of that game to basically have it live until the manager, so he has the manager. Is that part of that to work on ball security too?
No, that's what, exactly. That's what I mentioned for the receivers or whomever's carrying the ball. When it makes them concentrate on hanging on to it, and it certainly puts an emphasis on the defensive guy always trying to get it out until the whistle blows. But yes, that's part of it.
Mike, did you have something?
I have one. Yeah, it's okay. You quoted Bo Schembechler a few times just over the years, and I'm just kind of curious what his impact was on you or your coaching philosophy. And did you ever work? I don't think you ever worked together, right?
No. During my early days in coaching, I studied everybody from, Bear Bryant to talk to Bear Bryant on the phone when I was a young coach at 22 or 23. Just peppered him with a bunch of questions. I wrote Tom Osborne a number of different letters. I used to always just kind of pick the minds of those individuals that were great coaches. And, Woody Hayes, I played when those guys were coaching in the league or in the Big Ten, excuse me. And but the interesting thing with you, with Coach Schembechler, I actually had a chance to work in the football camps back in the old days. They used to, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they still have a vibrant camp, I'm sure. But they used to invite coaches from smaller schools. I was at Southern Illinois at the time. So I came up and worked their camp a couple different times. And so after practice was over with, we would typically in the evenings kind of sit around and Coach Schembechler would come in and tell some stories and talk about football. And he and Jerry Hanlon would get in an argument about a blocking scheme. And, it might go on for hours and Terrell Burton and all those guys. And so that's kind of the way the coaching used to be back in the old days. And you may be there till the wee hours of the morning arguing about the power play, how the power should be run and the steps that are taken, et cetera. But along with that, there's always a lot of philosophy that was shared during those times. And most of us that started coaching back in those days, kind of gravitated towards some of those ideas and philosophical things that we can sink our teeth into and utilize. So, yeah, I still go back a little ways with showing my age a little bit too. With a number of those old great coaches throughout the country. Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but. Well, what happened was, as I was working at Southern Illinois, there was a guy, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, I'll probably think of it before I finish, hopefully. I know his first name was Wes, but he worked in the athletic department, and then he was also teaching a couple other courses, and he actually lived in an apartment building next to mine, so got to know him a little bit, and he had come from the University of Alabama. He had told me that he knew Coach Bryant. They had a kind of a ritual every week that they would go through. I guess both of them perhaps enjoyed maybe the same beverage. So he was telling me the story, and as inquisitive as I am, I've always been curious and I'm still curious today. I said, well, hey, can you get him on the phone for me? I could ask him a few questions. So it just so happened that one day he comes running down to my apartment, knocks on the door and says, hey, I got Coach Bryant on the phone. Would you like to talk to him? And so I ran up to his, that was before cell phones, nobody was running down apartment to apartment. So I had to run upstairs and sat down and had an opportunity to talk with him on the phone and ask him quite a few questions, and he was very accommodating. That's one thing I learned about, in coaching, oftentimes you get young coaches and visiting coaches that come in. Every guy that I've ever been associated with took time to talk to me, asked questions, and I had millions of them. And they treated me with such kindness and civility that I try to in turn do the exact same thing. So I could tell you countless of people that have done things for me that still resonate with me today, but that was one of them. So we had a good long discussion.
Do you remember what you asked him?
It was a thousand. It was a thousand different. I always had them ready to go, you know. But and I always basically tried to find out what they did best in their organizations, and then tried to learn from that. But a guy like him, who's done it all, you know, he's one of the few guys that a lot of coaches stuck with the exact same system and ran it the exact same way. He adjusted his from year to year, from time to depending upon his personnel. So I can't remember exactly what I asked him, but I still have the notes, so I could go back and look to be sure. But but that was then, this is now. Thanks.